Well, 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 look who decided to share. Welcome in, latest episode, That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, 12th Man Mike. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Giggum Shred. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Ooh, I'll tell you what's going on. A lot of Texas A&M. What's up with you?
Not long time no see, Mike. Long time no see. I tell you what, I've been busy. I'm at one. If you're looking for me, you can find me at one of my three favorite locations: Cracker Barrel, golf course, Tennessee Legend Distillery. That's right. That's where I spent a bulk of my weekend, over at TLD. Be sure to stop in and let them know the cousin sent you. Not only will you get a bonus gift, but you will also get a discount. Come on now. They got all kinds of cool stuff in there. Stuff you wouldn't even think. Like, when I walked in Tennessee Legend the first time, I was blown away by all the stuff they had in there. I was like, there's literally something for everybody in there. So if you're looking for a souvenir before you head home, be sure again to remind them the cousin sent you in there. Well. Texas, I saw Texas fans. They're going to need plenty of that Tennessee Legend after this show, Mike.
Hey, check us out too. Speaking of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Shane got himself a little cowbell here.
Come on.
Courtesy of Cousin Sip, and P5's got one too now, so.
Hell yeah, thank you, Sip, appreciate that.
We got a couple more cowbells to add to the list. Hopefully I'll get that to you one of these days. You got to earn it, Shane, you got to earn it.
Well, I still don't think you've earned it. You can't dodge me forever, because we got media days right around the corner, which also means some of my favorite shows. One in particular is where Mike ranks the quarterbacks, and this guy is like Rain Man when it comes to quarterback. He never misses. So I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully we'll be doing that soon. And I could get my cowbell then.
Mm-hmm. All right. So enough of the niceties, Shane.
Yes.
It's time to jump into latest fall camp preview. Texas A&M. Let's do a quick recap of last year. It was a banner year for the Aggies, Shane. Made the college football playoff, went 11-2 overall, 7-1 in the conference. Started out 11-0. You know, that's the only bad thing about, we went 11-2. Well, we started out 11-0. So again, we got to finish. That is something that is, it's only been 2 years, but that's something that, you know, Coach Helko has got to get his program turned around. Just finishing, that's got to be the theme of the offseason. Huge wins over Notre Dame, kept Notre Dame out of the playoff. Thank you, A&M. Even if you hate A&M, you got to be thankful they kept Notre Dame's sorry ass out of the playoff. They got Brian Kelly fired by blowing out LSU and turning it into Aggie Stadium there. They had an epic 28-point win, comeback win over Carolina. That was insane. Then, of course, you know, the loss to Texas and the loss to Miami kind of soured things at the end. But anyway, you slice it, Shane, it was a year of improvement. Again, this is just year two.
Yeah.
For Coach Helko. And if we're sitting here saying it was disappointing 11-win season, I mean, my goodness, I think just about anyone short of Georgia would have taken that disappointing season.
Yeah. I always think about that. Like, if your coach got replaced in the last 10 years and I told you your head coach is going to take you to 11-2 year two, you know, and get bounced out in the college football playoffs, I think you're okay with that, right? Because again, it's showing momentum. It's showing a trajectory that, let's be honest, Mike, a lot of Texas A&M coaches just have not provided us. So I do feel like the Aggies are a little more excited about their future down there in College Station.
Well, they should, Shane, because they got this man, Coach Helko. Shout out our head coach. Again, 8 wins year one, 11 year two. We'll see if he can top it year three. So he's been pretty damn good. 12-4 against the SEC. Love that statistic. You know how he's done against, he's only got one black guy, Shane. 0-2 against Mighty Texas here, but everybody else in the conference he's faced. I mean, hell, A&M for years and years couldn't beat LSU.
Right.
He can't lose to LSU. He's 2-0 against LSU. So that's quite the feather in his cap. Florida, Arkansas, Missouri, Mississippi State, 2-0 against all of them. And he lost to Auburn in South Carolina year one, and then he beat them both. So, again, everywhere other than that Texas game is, you know, everything's getting improving by year two.
It is. It is. But because of that improvement, you know, an O for the win column against Texas isn't going to last long. You know what I'm saying, Mike? Eventually, the standards are being raised down there, mainly by what Elko's been able to do year two. But because of that, I feel like there's some more expectations, some vaulted expectations coming into this season.
Right. And we've talked at no it's beyond length of Holloman Wiggins, new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Shout out our buddy Dave Bartu, CFB Matrix. Unbiased, he just looks at the data. Says this guy has been the number one receiver coach in the SEC. So, I mean, that's pretty outstanding. You know, Colin Klein, our former offensive coordinator, now he's head coach at Kansas State. But I think while we've talked about this on and on and on, we haven't really talked much about the defensive coordinator left, Jay Bateman, to go to Kentucky. So, you know, Elko's got his fingers all over the defense. That's probably why we don't talk about it as much. But so technically they have both coordinators are new this year with Lyle Hemphill taking over. Now he's another promoted from within. So Coach Elko, I guess he don't like leaving College Station to find his coordinators, but I kind of kid because again, continuity, if you're winning big,
yeah,
it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know what? Cause you don't want to mess up what's working so well.
Yeah, it's working, right? And as long as that keeps happening, everything's fine. But I do feel like there's going to be a little bit more pressure on those guys coming into the season because, again, of the excellence those other two guys have done the last couple of years. So, yeah, this is some big shoes to fill, Mike.
Hey, shout out Toga, Shane. Love the show. Very much enjoy listening to the content. Hopefully we can meet up someday. Giga Maggie's.
We're not going to get down there, you know. I'm looking. We may have to stay with Billy because everything's sold out or just ridiculously priced for that game. Is there no hotels in College Station? What's going on here?
You're not staying with Coach Elko?
No, he hasn't called me yet. He's left me on red.
All right, so here's a little recent program history. Shay, now this was a fascinating one that I dove into here, and I just went back. You know, he's only been there 2 years, so I thought it'd be kind of dumb to just do two. So I just went back to post-COVID because I feel like everything changed, right? NIL, yeah. Transfer portal. So this is kind of the new standard of college football. So I'm looking at 21 till last year. How about this, Shane? In 21, that was Elko's. Remember, he was a defensive coordinator before he was head coach. His last year was 21. A&M was top 10 in the nation in defensive success rate, Elko's last season, and they never came close to matching that until last year, his second year as head coach. They're back in the top 10. So what's the common theme? Of course, Coach Elko. Uh-huh. I think, you know, again, it's not like I'm kind of stating the obvious here, but the guy knows what he's doing when it comes to defensive coaching. How about this, Shane? This kind of, I shouldn't be surprised, but A&M's been in the top 10 in overall talent every single season since 21. So, you know, the critics that say, they never do anything with all that talent. I mean, there's some truth to that prior to Coach Elko, and they were even top five the last 2 years under Jimbo. That's why his ass had to go. Top five talent, and the product he was putting on the field was disgraceful. But how about this, Shane? This is what I thought was fascinating. Because everybody always, A&M, they got the easiest damn schedule in the SEC. That's why they won 11 games. Well, according to this, number nine in the country, number nine toughest schedule the last two seasons. Each year, number nine. So it's kind of interesting that it didn't deviate. But again, a top 10 strength of schedule for the 11-win Aggies last year. So the data does not support that they just feasted on an easy schedule. And I think that is probably aided by playing Notre Dame both those years. But
yeah,
it is what it is. I mean, they had to play that team, you know. So they get credit for beating them last year on the road. You know, so that's why they made the playoff, and Notre Dame didn't. And last season also was the high watermark since 21 of points per game, offensive efficiency, and offensive success rate. So there's your recent snapshot of the A&M program.
Yeah, strength of schedule would be a little higher if they didn't hand out 11 L's last year. Hey, that's a lot of green, man. You know what I'm saying? Two seasons, a lot of green. I mean, obviously, that's the theme. We like when the Reds are not on there, we see Jimbo. We're just reminded of the ghost of Christmas past. You know what I'm saying? But I do like what I'm seeing, and there is a lot of improvement, right? It's not just you chalk it up to a one-hit wonder. We're seeing across the board, man. It seems like it's darker in every category.
We love green on this
green,
show. You know,
come on now. Come on.
All right, so let's dive into the returning production for A&M this season. Shane, offense, they're up near the top. 60% of last year's offensive production is back. That is number four in the SEC. How did I calculate this? Passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, and offensive line snaps that return. Same calculation I use for every team. And so, again, you got Marcel Reed back, of course. He was 96% of our passings. That's number three in the SEC. We have Reuben Owens back, 63% of our rushing. That's eighth most in the conference. And receiving, how about this, Shane? We said Casey Concepcion, arguably, you know, you could make the case he was the best receiver in the conference last year. I'm not saying he necessarily was, but I think he would have a damn strong case to be the best. Now, he's gone to the NFL, of course, but we have 56% of a receiving back. That's number two in the SEC, despite our elite receiver going to the NFL. I think that's interesting. And then offensive line snaps. Now, here's where the trouble could be a brewing. 25% of the snaps from last year are back. That is 11th. In the Southeastern Conference. Now, we will address the transfer portal here in a minute. But, you know, aside from that offensive line, I mean, you got to feel pretty confident about this A&M offense.
Yeah. I think the receiving really kind of threw me off. I thought we'd take a little bit further back in the SEC, but we got some absolute studs. You know what I'm saying? And damn, I didn't realize this is how much offense. I know we talked about it before, but I'm liking it. Daddy likes, man. Am I back on? Am I back on the bus?
I don't know. Don't jinx him, Shane. Don't jinx him. All right, so how about the defense? So now defense, not quite the same. 47% of our defensive production from last year is back. That is ninth in the Southeastern Conference. We calculate this by tackles for loss and sacks, interceptions and passes defended that are returning in College Station. So we're 53% of our tackles are back. That is eighth in the SEC. Tackles for loss and sacks, 47% are returned. So that's 11th in the SEC. And then passes defended and interceptions, 41%, 14th in the SEC. So this is where Coach Elko has really got to retool this roster. Because, I mean, they still got a loads of talent, right? But
yeah,
we don't return near as much on the defensive side of the football. So this is something to watch heading into the year.
Yeah, a little more concerning, especially on the back half there. You know, I'm looking at the pass defended and interceptions here because it wasn't that long ago. We were really struggling in that department. So, yeah, I do think though, this is Elko's baby. And like you said, we'll get to the portal here in a second, but a little less confident with this defense for sure.
And then one other, I mean, hey, we're trying to be optimistic, right? But we also keep it real here. Damian Sanford, he is the only guy he's on all these tackles for loss, passes defended. He suffered a serious injury in the spring game. Mm-hmm. I have an update on him here in a minute, but he is going to miss some time. He may not even play. So, you know, that would hurt us even more. They have not ruled him out, but I just trying to be transparent here. You know what?
Yeah.
But that goes to show how big of a loss. I mean, he's literally he's one of the key statistical returners in every regard there.
That sucks. You hate injuries and, we're getting close, you know, these guys coming to camp and you're just like, hey, just say your prayers now that everyone stays safe and healthy, you know, because you need them come September 1st.
Right. And I remember when that happened, I believe, hopefully I'm not misquoting Shane, but they asked Coach Elko, you know, they're like, one of your key players goes down in the spring game, do you reevaluate how you handle spring game and all this? And he said, no. He said, you can't get better at football unless you play football, you know? Yeah. And I think that's a mindset you got to have. This is a game, unfortunately, where players go down and you can't play scared and you're not going to develop and you're not going to win a championship by being scared. You know what?
Well, you can't get, it wasn't pickup game basketball, you know, so that's a good sign. I was thinking there's worse ways to go down. So,
yep. All right. Let's kick it over to the transfer portal. Oh, what did you know, Shane? All three woke up and they said, you know what? A-Dib's got them an elite class here. Number 4 transfer portal class in the country, according to On3, 24/7. They must have been drinking that Tennessee Legend this week because they got them at number 12. This is the first preview we've done where On3 ranks a class higher than 24/7. So I'm just poking fun there. But 19 transfers in, 13 transfers out. Some big-time players, though, coming to College Station. Shane, Isaiah Horton, really good for Bama last year, over 500 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Ricky Gibson, Tennessee. Now, he missed basically the entire year. He got hurt in the season opener, but he was pretty outstanding prior to that. So he is in College Station now to hopefully lock down a starting corner spot. Steven, cannot say enough about this. I hope I'm not butchering this too much. Anto Saka, Northwestern defensive end. There was buzz. He could be a first-round NFL draft pick this time last year. So he's got massive, massive potential. And then they have totally rebuilt the offensive and defensive lines via the transfer portal, getting guys from LSU, couple from LSU, Bama, South Carolina. So they went out and got SEC experience on the offensive line. Name to know, Shane, with Samford banged up, Ray Coney from Tulsa, 129 tackles last year at old Tulsa. Can he get it done in the SEC? But I don't know, but hopefully he can. And then I put him last, Shane. He might be number one in our hearts. David Olino, who the hell's that? Illinois kicker, Shane. We couldn't kick to save our lives last year. If nothing else, they have addressed that. He hit, I believe, 20 of 23 field goals last year for Illinois. So if we just solve our kicking issue, Shane, we might have beat Miami in that playoff game. You know what?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I love this portal class. Obviously, On3, like you said, nailed it. Just because I felt like Elko nailed it. You know, we talked earlier about the offensive line returning production and why we weren't as worried about it because, you know what, we just went out here and got some big uglies to replace. So I do like how they attack the trenches here. I love this Isaiah Horton. I think he's going to be a perfect fit in this system. I'm not saying he's replacing Concepcion. He's definitely not. But him and Craver out there, I mean, this could be a dangerous group right here. So, yeah, absolutely, like I said, love this portal class.
And we love P5
Shane. Hey!
SEC Mike, great stats and charts and Mizzou cowbell most of all. Appreciate you, P5.
That's right. Thank you, cuz.
All right, so recruiting.
Ooh, yeah.
Now this, I mean, Shane, there was too many 4 stars to even write down. I mean, number 7 recruiting class in the country, number 3 in the Southeastern Conference, led the only 1 5-star though, Shane. But again, when you sign 24-star, I mean, I'll let it slide that you only get 1 5-star. But shout out Brandon Arrington, number 1 corner in the country, Shane. He's an Aggie this year. KJ Edwards, number 3 running back. Bryce Perry Wright, number 12 edge. Aaron Gregory, name to remember, Shane. Every time I talk to Billy Lucci, and it's about every week these days because I'm looking for some Aggie and say, he says, watch it. Remember this name, Aaron Gregory, Randy Moss 2.0. So he might be, all these guys could be playing. They signed a bunch of guys. The only problem with A&M, like, not problem, it's a good problem, but when you're so deep, when you're so talented, you have to question how many of these freshmen can come in here and play immediately I think you got to be a really special player to make an impact year one here with this roster.
Yeah, but not needed. There's a lot of rosters in this conference that they're need. Like we're saying, hey, maybe we can get some production from this freshman class. I think the luxury of not having that is pretty awesome, pretty substantial. So that's when the back half, right? We talk about this. This is a long, grueling season with 9 SEC games. I think the days of freshmen not producing are long gone. You're going to need them, especially toward the end of this year.
Shane, that's an excellent point.
Hell yeah.
Look at you over there. Yeah.
It's this American dew I've been doing here. The caffeine is flowing, cuz.
All right, well, you're going to need it here, Shane, because we're going to break down the offensive position groups. And this is my best educated guess here on how the depth chart is going to break down for the Aggies this year. And like I said, look at the... The entire offensive line, aside from our outstanding center, Mark Nabu, all projected to be transfers. Tight ends, I mean, the starting tight end and the backup tight end, likely transfers. So a lot of transfers here, which is interesting considering how much we are returning around them. But this is kind of why I have a little bit of reason for optimism because you know, this is very unique, Shane, where in years past, you replacing four starters on the offensive line, it's a complete rebuild.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you just go out there and get you some, every one of these guys that is transferring in has started in the Southeastern Conference. And two of them, the projected left tackle, Tyree Adams, left guard, Cohen Echols, they started together at LSU. So, again, it can be done. It's not a lock by any means, but this is an interesting way to go about rebuilding an offensive line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, I love it, right? Because not only did you build from Southeastern Conference, but you also stole them from your rival schools. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, we don't have to face these guys when we play LSU or go to South Carolina. So, yeah, come on now.
And then some of these guys that are backing them up, like Lamont Rogers, uh-huh. He was a last year true freshman, 5-star. Mm-hmm. So, again, I'm not writing these guys. I think Blake Ivey, I got him projected as backup left guard. I believe he was a 4-star. Robert Bourdon, I believe he was a 4 or 5-star. So they're loaded with talent.
Yeah.
It's just some of it's inexperience. So I don't think any of this, aside from center, I don't think any of it's 100% finalized on the offensive line. I think these are going to be battles all camp long. So having said that, I think the number one position group is receiver.
Oh, yeah.
With Mario Craver back, Super Mario, he was awesome last year. They're getting the transfer Isaiah Horton, Ashton Bethel Roman. He broke out last year, nearly 500 yards, 5 touchdowns. Terry Bussey, he's in year two, was being a full-time receiver. He was a 5-star. Remember, I shouted out the true freshman Aaron Gregory, throw him into the mix. Jerome Miles, redshirt freshman, he was a 5-star recruit this time last year. So a lot of talent. And then they went via the transfer portal to add Richie Anderson from Fresno and Houston Thomas, UTSA. So they basically had nothing at tight end statistically. I mean, they had blockers is what they had, but they went out here and added some receiving options. So I think they got a lot of weapons to work with.
There's very few teams that could legitimately go 5 wide. A&M has it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
These are some dudes, and they're just special because they're not identical. They're all a little bit different, and I feel like that's what – I don't know. This may be one of the – you know, because there's going to be a couple we're going to talk about, especially in the next couple of weeks, about wide receiver rooms. But, I mean, this could be the best wide receiver room in the country right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the next – now I'm kind of splitting hairs. Because these next three position groups, I didn't quite know how to rank them, Shane. I went quarterbacks next, thanks to Marcel Reed. And I know he's got his critics, but, I mean, hell, he threw for over 3,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, nearly 500 rushing yards, 6 touchdowns. I think it's a mistake just to overlook him because of some of the flaws he's had going into it. You know, I don't think you can – you can quantify experience at this position in college football?
No, no, you can't. And what I mean, it's just there's a couple things, right? And it's improvement. Have we seen improvement? And I feel like Marcel Reed every year has gotten better, you know, but we need a big step forward this year. You know what I'm saying? If we're going to win that national title or at least get back to the playoffs competing for it, I feel like it's going to rest on the shoulders of this young man.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so then the next position group, Shane, I got that wild offensive line.
Yeah.
we're just trying to figure that out. But again, Mark Naboo's back, Lamont Rogers, Blake Ivy, Robert Borden. Those are kind of the key returners. And we got Wilcome Formby from Bama. He was a starter there. Tyree Adams, starter at LSU. Cohen Eccles, starter at LSU. And Trevon Baugh, who he did have a rough year at South Carolina, but he was freshman All-American. So,
yeah.
Again, talent and experience. This is going to be fascinating to see how this offensive line comes together.
Well, yeah, experience, right? Because they're not from UTSA or, you know what I'm saying, Houston. These are from SEC teams. So just because they didn't play with Texas A&M last year, they still had valuable reps in this league. So it's just really needing it to come together, right? And I'm not trying to give away any fall camp preview questions, but this offensive line, either at A, it comes together and this is one of the most prolific offenses in the country, or B, it falls apart and the whole experiment fails. So I think there's a lot on these guys just getting it together.
Mm-hmm. So last I got the running backs, Reuben Owens. Now I think he's pretty solid, Shane, but he's not proven yet that he can be the number one option. I don't really doubt him, but we haven't seen it either. A Jamarian Merrow, kind of, I have him pegged as the backup. And then the freshmen's, KJ Edwards, Carson Baker. So there's talent there, but it's the depth is a little lacking. So that was kind of the key decider for of why I put running backs last.
I don't blame you. You know, it's not been a sexy group, even though we talked about it at time. I mean, they had killer shoes last year, but I'd love to see. I feel like that's what Elko wants is more of a balanced team, and you're going to do that by getting Reuben going for sure.
Right. Yeah. Well, and we had like a triple headed monster is what we had. So
yeah.
How do we do? And what happens to a triple headed monster when two of the heads are no longer there? I don't know. Does it just turn into a
one-handed monster? Wait, or is it just a monster?
I don't know, but we're going to find out, Shane. We are going to find out. All right, how about the defense, Shane? Again, we got some transfers here, but I'm going to say the best defensive position group is the defensive backs with a bunch of starters back. Dez Ricks, Dalton Brooks, Marcus Ratcliffe, bringing in the transfer, Ricky Gibson. Byard is another transfer. Julian Humphrey's back for another year. He was a five-star at Georgia that transferred in last year. Didn't play a ton. And then we've got some nice depth, Jordan Shaw, Miles Davis. So I think this is going to be a really good defensive backfield.
I mean, that's just – you don't have a lot returning on this side, right? So right. I do like that this is where it's at. But, again, you know – production and depth. I don't know. I'm a little torn on this side of the football, Mike. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
This is kind of my reserve. This is where I try not to get on the bandwagon. The offense gets me excited. The defense is like, well, let's see what we got here first.
Right. No, I think that's fair. And then so second position group, I'll go defensive line.
Yeah.
With DJ Hicks back. He was a five. I mean, this is a common theme, Shane. I mean, they got five stars that it's like their time to shine, right? So, I'm giving credit to Coach Elko, who's proven he can develop these guys. Marco Jones played a ton for us last year. TJ Searcy's back. Landon Rink. Samuel Impabwe, I'm sure I butchered that. He was another five-star, I believe, at Georgia that transferred in. I don't know what it is, Shane, about if it don't work at Georgia, A&M will take you. Apparently, they really like Kirby's guys. And then they loaded up on transfers. Mims from Carolina, Saka from Northwestern, McCullum from Illinois. So I like the overall talent, a lot of experience here. And Coach Elko just, he really does a good job with these defensive linemen.
Yeah. It just pains me to see Ricky Gibson sitting over there, though, you know. Do you ever feel like he just has regrets? I know he does. Sweating his ass down under Texas.
And then, so last, I got linebackers. And a lot of that is because Sanford, we don't know if he's going to play, you know.
Yeah.
So just recently, Coach Elko said, here's word for word what he said. We're hopeful that the recovery goes and the rehab goes the way that we think it can, because if it does, I think he'll be able to have a really strong year for us. So it's a lot of what, you know, hopefullys and ifs and this, that, and the other. So I'm right there with you. I hope he is. But if he's not, that, you know, I think that'll downgrade the linebacking core significantly. So I have Sanford as a backup here. Mm-hmm. Now he is lock solid a starter, but I just don't anticipate he's going to be there week one. So that was kind of my logic there. But Ray Coney, the guy I told you about with 129 tackles, mm-hmm. he looks solid. McHale, he came in and played for us last year, so they're not devoid of talent by any means. But hell, Coach Elko didn't even play a lot of linebackers too, so that kind of helped my decision making there as well.
Well, you know, and I got, but that's it. A guy like Noah, you got to remember, he's one of the elite recruit. Like, everybody wanted him on his team, you know. And then sometimes they disappear for a little bit, but now he's stepping into a starting role. And these are the guys that come out of nowhere and start to shine. So this is Elko's defense 101. So I'm trying to be patient. Just trust the process, you know?
Okay, Coach Shane.
One day at a time, 1% better, Cut.
And then, like I said, we got the kicker, David Olano from Illinois.
Yeah.
And punter. We ain't going to need a punter with this offense. But he's back, Tyler White. So we should be solid on old special teams, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We won't need them. Maybe, but it would help to have a good place kicker, right? Because you don't realize how much you need them till you don't have them.
All right. Then a quick recap, Shane, of the anonymous coach comments in Athlon. Shout out Stephen Lassen for hooking us up with these. Here's what they said about the Aggies. I always thought quarterback Marcel Reed was a great athlete. Respect him. But I always judge these guys on, do they win the big games? Are they the main difference? He's got a year under his belt, but there's going to be more pressure on him facing the top half of the league and not have to just come on down to the Texas game at the end. And then what they had to say about Coach Elko. Coach Mike Elko, he's the real deal ball coach. The way they carry themselves, the way they compete, how physical they are on both sides of the line of scrimmage, they play complete team football. You watch them and you see the way they handle adversity at times throughout the season, and that just doesn't happen unless you've got culture. So some pretty strong comments. Yeah.
Billy wrote that one, didn't he?
I think he bite him. You know,
he snuck that one in the old Athlon, didn't he? So a lot of Elko love, which again, it's easy to get wrapped up into two wonderful seasons, you know, but this is the year three, right? As great as last season was, this is the one that you're expecting to take it to that next level. And I think the real judging of Coach Elko shall begin.
Ooh, the judging. Okay.
Oh, I am such a judger, Mike.
That's what I was thinking. So let's break down the schedule, Shane. The over-under is 8.5 for the Aggies. Mm. They're 9-1 odds to win the Southeastern Conference. They're 20-1 to win the national championship. How about that? Here's the schedule breakdown. Missouri State, Arizona State, and Kentucky, all three first games at home. So that's a nice little break for the Aggies. Then they go to LSU, Arkansas at home, at Missouri, Citadel at home, and then at Alabama. Then they get their first and only bye. Then they're at South Carolina, Tennessee at home, at Oklahoma, Texas at home, buddy. So, little interesting schedule. I would say five challenging road games. And it's kind of unique that they have to go to LSU and to Missouri back-to-back years. I can't recall that ever happening where you get two conference opponents on the road back-to-back. I know it's happened once, you know, with one team. Georgia fans, I think it's I can't remember if it's Georgia or Auburn, but they did. They had to do it 1 year, and they still bitch about it. And it was like 20 years ago. Now A&M's having to do two of them. So
yeah,
pretty wild here.
Yeah, this is the scheduling gods did not favor Texas A&M this time. And I feel like when we do this again next season, we're looking at strength of schedule. A&M may be top five, top three. I mean, it's because it's not just, oh, you're playing Alabama and Oklahoma, two teams that went to the playoffs last year, but you're doing it on the road. This is not going to be an easy one, but 8.5 still feels a little tempting though, right? If you're a bettor, if you're a Aggie gambler, come on now.
Well, let me ask you, Shane, are you ready to play a little win-loss toss?
Hell yeah, let's do it.
All right, so here's how I got it for the little win-loss toss for the Aggies. I've got, what is that? I'm trying to count in my head. 7 games, Shane.
Yeah.
That should be wins. Missouri State, Arizona State, Kentucky, all at home. Arkansas at home. At Missouri, the Citadel at home, and then at Carolina. Do you disagree with any of those 7 should-be wins?
I do not disagree with you, Mike.
Okay, so now here's a critical part. I got 4 toss-ups. At LSU, at Alabama, Tennessee at home, at Oklahoma. Any of those you disagree with?
I do not disagree with any of those, Mike.
Oh, okay. Well, then last but not least.
I do disagree. I think that should be a toss.
I don't know, man. I think A&M's got themselves a Texas problem, Shane. They've got smacked around both times as SEC. And hell, even the time, I mean, who cares about, you know, 15 years ago, whatever it was, but it is what it is. I mean, and that was a home game too. So I don't know. Is it in their head? And you said it yourself when we opened this damn thing. Coach Elko. I mean, they could go 11-1. If they lose to Texas, Shane, I bet you there'll be some A&M fans that'll be out. I don't know, out, but hell, there might be. They might be out on Elko if he's 0-3 against Texas.
There's just some you have to get over, right? Year three.
Especially 2 of them being at home.
I know. In year 3, it becomes a trend. Then you bring it with it year 4, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, we can never beat these guys. Don't know what it is, but we can't beat them. So, yeah, I feel like you got to have to start getting some wins here. That's just 2 losses in Elko, but it's still 2 losses that you're not supposed to have.
Right. Oh, and I apologize. I meant to biggest camp questions before we get into predicting the games. Obviously, the offensive line, that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
I think figuring out now with a 9-game schedule, I think you've got to have 3 running backs you can trust. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure they have 2, but they got to figure out if they have a 3rd one, if they have a 4th one. I think that's going to be critical, finding out what they have at running back. And then for the defense, man, they've got to. How about this, Shane? This blew my mind. A&M,
yeah,
3 interceptions last year. 3 intercept. That was 131st in the country. There's only but 132 teams. I mean, we're bringing back a lot of defensive backs. That's got to improve, and allowing running plays of 20 or more yards, mm-hmm. We were 109th in the country. So we got to figure out those 2 things. We cannot be getting busts in the run game,
yeah,
and we got to be getting more interceptions. I think those are the 2 defensive things that really need to be turned around here in College Station.
Yeah, some good explosive plays on defense. Wouldn't that be something, right? Yeah, I didn't know that. That's kind of crazy to me. 3 interceptions. That's it.
Hey, how do you? I don't even know how you win 11 games with only having 3 interceptions. You know,
I don't either. What, they play all running teams? I don't know. How many times they play Army and Navy?
hey, shout out. Hey, he said, this is the year the Aggies beat Moo Cows from Austin. Gotta do it, man. Gotta do it.
Gotta do it. Absolutely.
All right. You ready to go week by week? Yes, predictions? Sir.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I win. Promise. Yeah. I ain't gonna waste a lot of time on Missouri State. Get the hell out of here. We're cruising to 1-0. That's a pick your score type game. Well, I think that's when we'll find out a lot about the backup quarterback and who's our second string offensive line. You know, we'll have those solved by the end of Missouri State.
Yeah. You just don't want it to be. You don't want to. I hate those games when you get so excited. And I know Texas A&M knows what I'm talking about because there's been a few of them. And they're like so amped up for the season. And then you're looking up, it's like 14-7 in the end of the second quarter. You know, we can't have that. This is a game that should be a pick your score game, like you said. And everyone should get to play.
Oh, shout out Jared Shane. He said his wife came in the garage. Can we say welcome her? I forgot. He sent us a wild email. Yeah. I said I would debut it. I'll try to do it by the end of the show. If I can't figure it out, we'll do it the next one. But it's a real treat. It's a little teaser for you to. So, hello, Mrs. Jared. Hopefully, you're watching the show. But
she's like, how long is this damn thing?
All right, back to A&M.
Why are they talking about A&M?
Week two. Trap game, Shane, Arizona State. Now, they lost their quarterback. Of course, he's at LSU now. They took a big step back, I thought, without that beast running back they had. Mm-hmm. But I really respect Kenny Dillingham. Think there's a good chance he's an SEC coach before long. So I don't think this is a given. I think if A&M, let's say they drop a bunch of interceptions.
Yeah.
This is a sneaky one. This is a sneaky, sneaky game, Shane. But who are we kidding? Come on, it's a win. Just don't overlook them because this is like Jimbo S dropping a game like this at home. You know what?
Yeah, and I will say, you know, Dillingham will have their offense up and running. And if you are worried about A&M defense, they will be tested in this game. But you're correct. This should not. And Dillingham, he's one of those guys I'll recruit like hell to get him over here. But until then, I can't stand the guy. So, I feel like this one is a big one, but you can't afford to lose it. Or I promise you'll never hear the end of it. So 2-0, Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I mean, he led his team to a playoff. I know it was a weak league, but.
Yeah.
Especially when Mississippi State beat him last year. Mm-mm. You can't lose to that team. You know what?
No. Not at all.
All right, week three, conference play, Shane. Kentucky, come on down. Return of Jay Bateman, who Elko basically, I don't want to say he ran him off, but basically took his play calling duty. So, again, what to make of Kentucky? I don't know. They're going to be coming off Alabama. I think by this time we'll know a lot about Kentucky, how good they are, how good Kenny Minchie is. I have a good feeling, Shane, that Kentucky's going to come in here. They're going to be feeling themselves. Nick Roush is going to be on this program predicting the upset, talking about how much he hates Aggies and this, that, and the other. And it's going to be real cute, Shane, to about kickoff. A&M's going to whoop that ass. Come on, right?
It's hard not to think about Coach Stoops in this game, right? But, I feel like this one could be actually fun for a little bit. I do not expect it to be a ball game in four quarters, but you're going to get the best of Kentucky early this season. So probably be the only time some of these A&M fans watch a Kentucky game. So it's going to be night and day different than what you're used to, but Texas A&M does get a win here.
All right. Now it gets challenging, Shane.
Yeah.
Week four at LSU. Now they'll be coming off the Ole Miss game, emotional game. Will they have won it? Will they have lost it? I mean, either way, it's it'll be, you know, a wave of emotion for the coaching staff down there at LSU. And I just don't know, Shane. I mean, we had Marler on earlier. He's LSU's going to national championship. You know, of course, he's getting paid by LSU media down there. So I don't really believe that narrative, but maybe it's true. You know, a lot of people are enamored with their portal class and portal king and this, that, and the other, and they think LSU is going to be special. But you tell me, Shane, if Coach Elko, and again, it's not like if he loses his game, program's in the toilet or anything, but I don't think being in year three, you should be losing to year one LSU after you went there last year and whooped their ass. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot on the line, I think, for A&M in this one.
You think more on the line for A&M or LSU in that game?
Oh, I think A&M. Yeah. By a country mile.
Like Lane's already passing them. You know?
Right. Yeah. If they do it year one, you know, and again, I know it's a home game. It'll probably be at night. So I'm not saying it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
But if you're what Coach Elko's trying to prove to us, Shane, is that he can win a national championship. I don't think you're doing it if you're losing games like this. Does that make sense? Yeah. At least not this year.
Right. No, I get it. I totally get it. This is one. I feel like Texas A&M is walking in here saying, hey, we got them. We got their number. Elko's shit. He's 2-0 against LSU. You know, they don't even remember what it's like to lose to this football team. So yeah, I do think I'll go ahead and get my pick out. I think Texas A&M gets the win here. But this is one of the biggest. This may be a game that we look back later in the year and say, well, this is why this team can't get in because they lost, or this is why they should get in because they beat this team, you know. So I feel like this is one of those early season matchups that could have some consequences, if you will, at the end of the year.
Would you say Coach Elko's record was against LSU?
2-0.
No, you're wrong, Shane.
3-0!
Yeah, come on, we're getting it on that one. Again, year one, year three, I think it's a big difference there. So I think it's a huge game for A&M, but I think they can get it done.
Yeah.
All right, next game, Shane. Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah.
I don't care where they play this game, Shane. Jerry World, Vietnam, College Station. They can play it on the damn moon, Shane. A&M's going to whoop that ass. Come on. They don't lose. Not the Silver Field year one. Not no. At home.
No, Razorback fans are playing weddings this day. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're so used to losing this damn football game in the weirdest, wildest way. I don't even want to watch it. So you are correct. Give me another win for Texas A&M. Things are looking pretty damn good right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, week six, the interesting game, Shane, at Mizzou. We have hyped this game up the last couple years. Have we been made to look pretty stupid for that one? So I don't know that I'm hyping it up anymore, but I do anticipate Missouri's offense will be really good. And I think this will be a good matchup for them. I think they could take advantage of A&M's defense to a degree. Again, they got that nice renovated stadium. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge than it was last year. We're done with the construction. If Austin Simmons gets hot, I mean, this could be a duel here, Shane. The problem is, I don't got a lot of respect for Missouri's defense. So I think A&M, I know they own Missouri. I think they get another one here.
Don't sleep on this game. Like, I feel like, we do kind of build this up, but this may be one season that we don't, and then we probably should have. There's a lot of strength on weaknesses in this game, and I do expect Mizzou to lean in on that running game, try to slow this thing down, but this could be one where I'm not saying Marcel Reed's going to be on the stage at the end of the year, but if there is, there's going to be some opportunities when he's got to win this game by his arm, and this may be the one. So I like Texas A&M, but I do think this is going to be a hell of a football game.
Well, I'll tell you what shouldn't be a hell of a football game.
What's that?
Citadel. Get the hell out of here.
Isn't this the old tin horn from Alabama? Yeah. Isn't that Citadel?
So there you go. 7-0. But that's what they did last year, too. Yeah. So A&M's no stranger to starting strong and having these really good starts and being undefeated. So that would set up a huge showdown, Shane. Week 8 at Alabama. Mm-hmm. Or Elko. You know, I believe it's it's pretty well documented. When this job came open, they targeted DeBoer.
Yeah.
But he was at Washington. I don't know if they were undefeated. I think they were. But, you know, they were basically they went to the playoff. They made the national championship game. He didn't want to leave. Because he's got respect, you know, he's got character, unlike some coaches. When you got a hot team, you ride it, you know. But, of course, he came to Alabama after the season, which is how you're supposed to do it. So A&M made their choice, Bama made theirs. And this will be the first time DeBoer and Elko go head-to-head. I mean, I think this could be a really good game, Shane. And yeah. I think the winner could go to the playoff. I think the loser of this game is not going to the playoff.
Ooh.
And you know what I think about Alabama, Shane. So come on. We're marching our ass to 8-0 for the second year in a row.
Oh, Mike, not so fast. Not so fast, my friend. I know we're Steven up. I know he's in here somewhere. Here's the deal. I do feel like Texas A&M, best case scenario, is going to be dancing in the college football playoffs. But I do find it very doubtful that these teams make it through the season undefeated. So there's a loss or two that's just sitting around there. And this feels like a safe bet. I do hope that this game, I mean, there's been some moments where this game was exciting to watch, but there's also been moments in this game where I've kind of made Texas A&M the big bad boys, and then they get waxed by Alabama. So I feel like Bama's kind of got their number right now psychologically, and I'm not as down on Kalen DeBoer as you are, but I do think it's going to be a massive game. Don't be surprised that game day's not at this one, but give me Bama pulling off the win here at home.
Are you DeBoer's agent?
I got the black shirt on today, Mike.
All right, now we get a much needed bye. So maybe to your point, 8 games in 8 weeks, that's going to be very difficult.
That's tough.
For A&M. So that's a very losable game, make no mistake. But you get 2 weeks to prepare for Carolina, going to Carolina. And this has been a battle, Shane. 2 years ago, Carolina whooped A&M's ass. And then last year, whooped them for the first half. And got whooped. So, again, I think Carolina's going to be much improved. This game might be even tougher than Bama.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. But it probably won't be, but I'm saying it could be, given a recent track record. Let's see where they're at. They're getting their ass kicked. Come on, Shane! We're getting a 9-0 marching our ass to an undefeated season.
This is a great game. Great game. One of my favorites. Think about the last two seasons. It's been absolutely freaking awesome. And I'm expecting the same here. William Bryce are getting, you know, I'm seeing Shane Beamer with these updates. Check out what we just did over here, you know, making this place better. But this game will be awesome. And I hope it'll be at night. I'm not sure if it is or isn't, but I do think that Texas A&M should win this game. They're going to play it close. This could be like, I can't believe it's this close, but I do like Texas A&M to get a win here.
Okay. Now, potentially another big one. Man, this murder's row here, Shane. Yeah. Tennessee comes Moss to College Station. Imagine if A&M's undefeated. Again, that might sound crazy, but they did it last year. They made it to this point undefeated. I think Tennessee is going to be very good this year, much better than most people. We got old Brooks Austin. His latest show, Shane.
Yeah.
He was talking about, because I told him the sleeper's Tennessee. They ain't buying it. They said 8-4. That's a sleeper. No, because I think Tennessee could go 10-2. Maybe even better, Shane.
Oh, shit.
But even in our optimistic.
Let's talk after the show, Mike.
Best case. What did we say? We said best case. Tennessee's losing.
Yeah.
So best case for A&M, buddy, 10-0. 10-0 start to the buddy year.
Mm. Well, I haven't met one loss, and there's part of me deep down inside that wants to make a 2-loss right here, but I feel like you got the lucky straw here having Tennessee at home, you know? And honestly, I feel like you really want to play Tennessee early. I do think Tennessee will be a better football team later in the year. So I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying this happens, but If I had to pick one, and this is the Texas A&M fall preview, I'm going to give Texas A&M with a win here, barely. They cheated somehow. I haven't quite figured it out.
All right, so now, again, I got them 10-0. Oh, man, imagine. Probably be playoff locks at this point.
Yeah.
Nothing's a lock, but I think you might be number one in the country if you're 10-0 at this point. Going to Norman, Oklahoma, Shane. Ooh, God. Could this be the game of the year that maybe people are not recognizing? We haven't done our Oklahoma preview yet. I think they are elite. I think they might be even better than last year, or at least more balanced.
Yeah.
This is going to be a hell of a football game, Shane. But I've said it repeatedly. I don't think anybody's going undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the Sooners in Norman. This is when the Sooners come alive late in the year. You know what?
Yeah, this is where the schedule get. I mean, think about it. You're going from Tennessee to Oklahoma to Texas. This is not easy, man. There are definitely some losable games in this bunch, and I'm kind of with you, man. I'm trying to find the losses where they most likely would be. This is a tough, tough place to be. And in your scenario, hell, they may be sitting players. They may not even need them over in Norman. Say, hey, get some rest. We got the playoffs to think about. But, you know, I like Oklahoma in this one as well. So give me a second loss for them Texas A&M Aggies.
Oh.
Tough place to play. Tough.
So now we set up the mega showdown,
mm-hmm.
once again, potentially third year in a row.
Yeah.
Winner goes to the playoff or the SEC championship. Of course, I guess it technically, I mean, it would have been Friday. If they won that game last year, they would have been in the SEC championship. They still went to the playoff. The first year, you know, Texas won it and they got to go to both. Man. I picked A&M to beat Texas every time.
Yeah.
I've been dead wrong every time. And again, like I said, I think A&M's got a Texas problem. And this is home of the 12th man. We might need 12 men to beat Texas this year, Shane, because God's gift of football, Stephen Lass has got this as the best team that's ever been assembled. Arch Manning is going to win multiple Heismans this year. I ain't doing it, Shane. I ain't buying into the hype anymore. Texas owns A&M. Until further notice, they got to beat them before I'm picking them to beat the Texas Longhorns. So I got Texas going into College Station and beating them to go, best case, 10-2.
Oh, Mike, this is going to be this is it. This could be the play-in games that we were talking about. This could be like the playoff preview. Yeah, when you're in, you're out, you're done, right? And maybe we're talking about maybe he's not as good as we thought he was. And I feel like there's an old saying down in College Station. I heard this. I don't know if you've heard this. Billy texted me the other day. He said, hey, have you heard this saying? I said, no, I've never heard that. I'm going to use that on the show. You don't mind? He said, no, go ahead. We don't lose three times in a row. Give me a win for Texas A&M here. If this were on the road, possibly. But I think this is the year they get Texas back. So I, too, have them Aggies going 10-2, just a little different path than you.
Ooh. What happened the last time Texas and A&M played in College Station?
I think it was a loss.
It was a loss.
Yeah.
I was waiting to the end because I didn't want to go Texas, all Texas. But Cousin Lou, appreciate you, buddy.
Hey.
Jet lagged watching cousins from South Korea. Just had to say F hook up, and then he's back with another one. Shade, but it takes us hook up. Oh! Again, 10-2. Ooh, I wonder if A&M fans, if they're being honest, if they take it.
Yes,
you get to the playoff, but you lose to Texas. Would you take it?
Yeah, I think you do. And two things, Mike. We got nine SEC games. This is the strength of schedule on this one. If you're looking at Texas A&M, I mentioned it earlier, it's the road games for me. It's not just tough opponents. It's where you're playing them. If they got to a 10-2, shit, they'll have a parade down there.
Yeah, because all five of these road games are losable, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Not only that, but, potentially three, I'd say, including Arizona State, three really difficult home games, potentially.
You remember when Kirby was so pissed when he's holding that trophy and he's looking at Sankey? I think Elko should do the same thing here. If they win an SEC champion, he'd look over and say, You tried to mess this up. You tried. Can't hold me down.
All right, so this is where I got the most important game, Shane. For A&M, Texas at home, at LSU, at Bama. Mm. What would you say, three most important games for A&M this year?
I think LSU early is important. I think you... Couple of things. It sets the tone for Lane Kiffin's tenure there. You know, we're the big bad guys here. I think that should be up there. Don't sleep on that Tennessee game at home just because of what is in front and behind. You know, you just went on the road with Alabama and South Carolina, two of the toughest venues to play. But then behind Tennessee, you got Oklahoma and Texas sitting there, and there's Tennessee is you're going to get the day of the best Tennessee, I promise you, on November 14th. So I would put the Vols in there in that mix because you drop them, then there's no playoffs for you. You have to win. So I'd put that one in there. Then Texas, obviously, in the first spot because they've got you the last 2 years. And until you do, we're always going to put you in that number one spot.
All right. And then final question. Take off your optimistic Aggie maroon glasses there. Scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high.
Mm-hmm.
The odds, A&M returns to the college football playoff.
2.1.
Why do you hate A&M? You know they're going to be preseason top 10.
Of course.
20%.
Yeah, but how many losses you got to take to stay in the top 10, you know? It's a schedule.
I think 9-3 you can get in with this schedule.
This is a 9-3 team, Mike.
Get in with that, though.
You have to lose early. You have to drop LSU. God forbid, you can't lose to them. Maybe a Bama and let's say Tennessee, but close out. Big wins on Oklahoma and Texas. Yeah, I could see y'all getting in with 9 wins, but that's why, honestly, I do think that Texas A&M may have a better football team this year, but they will play tougher opponents this season as well.
It seems like you're talking out both sides of your mouth. If you think 9-3 can get you in, but only 20%.
It should. Here's the thing, Mike. It should, but I have no faith in this selection committee. I have no faith that they will bless an SEC team at the end of the year with a 9-3. No, not when they could squeeze in a two-loss Florida State or some bullshit, you know? So, no, I know how this thing plays out, and unfortunately, I still think it's almost impossible to get a three-loss SEC team in there, but do I think that they should? Absolutely. I think a 9-3 A&M team should definitely get in there. They just won't. So I'm hedging my bets here.
I think it's closer to 50-50.
Okay. Well, you talk to Billy weekly, you know, so he's been
affected my brain.
Exactly. Texting all the time. I see what he does. Then he talks about food and ropes you back in, you know,
liquid. If the three losses are LSU, Bama, and Texas, they're still in.
Losing the last game, though. Yeah, I could.
I mean, they did it last year. And got it.
It has to be LSU early at Bama. I could see that. That may be the path right there. But you'll need Tennessee to be ranked. Wouldn't hurt to have South Carolina ranked. Definitely Oklahoma playoff contender. If you could do that, then yeah, I could see it.
Okay. Looks like, can we get you to bump it up to 20?
No.
2.5?
No. I'm about to drop it to 1.9.
All right, buddy. Hey, anything else before we jump off this one?
No, thank you again for putting in all this work, man. I really do appreciate it. And I will say this. I feel better about Texas A&M. You know, I'm not on that bandwagon yet, but I may have been sleeping on these guys a little bit. This may be a dark horse contender for that natty. So what was the odds again for a national title? What if I put a hundo on that? How much?
I believe it's 20-1.
Oh, 100 ain't even enough. Maybe I need to put some more money. Yeah. I don't know. Now let's don't get carried away. I'm feeling a little better about Texas A&M. I will say that, but thank you again for all the work you've put in these fall camp previews. I know there's a lot of Aggie fans that really appreciate it.
Right. So we've got two more coming.
Yeah.
This week. Should we tell them or should we leave them in the dark here?
No, let's tell them.
All right. Well, Cousin Lou's is funding it. So we got Texas and Oklahoma today for the rest of the week. So should be some good ones. Aggie Shane lost with Texas. Will you do Yale leader change? Oh, yeah. You're the one saying they're going to beat Texas.
Oh, you crazy bastard. I've already done that. About blew a knee out doing that goofy chant.
All right. So that's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Gig 'em.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.